Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So much to talk about. I thought that Saturday was a really interesting day at Athens. Had a chance to be a part of the beautiful weather. Get a chance to see a little bit of practice on Saturday. Hear from some Georgia players immediately after that practice was done. We'll do a lot of that over the course of today and throughout the week here on Dog Nation Daily. But if you don't mind, I want to start with a recruiting nugget that I thought was very, very juicy. Now, the caveat on all of this stuff for me is, who knows what any of this means? We don't really know what this kind of stuff means, but it is certainly really, really interesting. And I want to begin the show by talking about that right now. Let me also add this in here as well. For those of you joining us on podcast, radio, video, everything else, coming up a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you how you can win some Braves tickets as the Atlanta Braves celebrate the home opener here on Monday and a big opening week's worth of festivities at SunTrust Park. Dog Nation Daily excited about celebrating that, and we'll do our part by giving away some Braves tickets a little bit later on the show. So hope you will join us for that coming up in just a couple of minutes. But speaking of fun and giveaways and prizes, Georgia looking to hopefully collect some prizes for its 2020 class, and one of the names that's on that list that a lot of Georgia fans are really interested in, especially someone like me that's hoped that Georgia can be more dynamic at the wide receiver position, add more playmakers to that group. Boy, one of the names we've thought about and paid a lot of attention to is Jermaine Burton, the four-star wide receiver who our Dog Nation recruiting insider Jeff Sintel has said, don't be surprised before it's all said and done if Burton's not a five-star receiver when this recruiting cycle ends. But this is one of those big-time playmakers that Georgia fans would love to see added to this class. We don't yet know what he's going to do. As I've said before, a lot of times when it comes to this kind of stuff, you'll look at the clues, you'll look at the evidence, you'll say, I'm not sure what it means, but it adds up right now as more good than bad. Certainly there's an example of that when it comes to Jermaine Burton, because here is the tweet that he has dropped over the last couple of days that got my attention. Likely if you've already seen it, it got yours, and if you're just now learning about this, well, this is maybe a reason to get excited. Jermaine Burton says, I will be committing on 4/20/19 on Terrence Edwards, a former Georgia wide receiver who we've had on the show and been a big friend with around Dog Nation for quite some time. It's Terrence Edwards' birthday. He has been a huge influence on me. He's helped mold me into the player I am today. Stay tuned. You better believe that we will be staying tuned for that. Burton's a guy who we've been leaning in, waiting to hear some news about when he might commit for a long time. Now we find out it's going to be on April 20th, and we find out, in addition to the fact that it's also G-Day, in addition to the fact that Burton is ready to make his commitment announcement, he says, I'm going to do it in honor of the guy that's been the biggest influence on me in my football career up to this point. I'm going to do this in honor of Terrence Edwards on his birthday. Now, y'all know, listen, I'm a very simple person when it all comes down to it. I am not that complicated. When a receiver I want says I'm going to commit on the birthday of the receiver that's been influential to me as a personal coach, it's one of our good friends around here, Terrence Edwards. This adds up to being quite a very intriguing storyline. Now, listen, there are twists and turns in recruiting all the time. And a lot of times you go to one of these commitment announcements thinking it's going to be one thing, it ends up being something else. A lot of times one of these, sets of dominoes starts its way to fall, and by the time you get to the end, it ends up not being what you, in my case, hoped it would be, or in some analyst's case, thought it might be. So there's no given here that what Burton says is definitely going to be good news when it comes to Georgia, but I got to tell you, I like the fact that Burton's going to honor Terrence Edwards with his commitment. And we know from the other side of this relationship, Edwards having worked with Burton as a personal coach, we know how influential that Edwards has been because of some of the things that he's kind of told us in the past. And we know the impression that Burton has made on Edwards in the ways that he has worked with Terrence as a wide receivers coach. In fact, when Terrence has been right here in this studio where we do Dog Nation Daily from every single day, talking about recruits and talking about wide receivers in particular, he has thrown a lot of praise in the direction of Jermaine Burton. In fact, here is something that Edwards recently told Jeff Sintel as a part of a video series with Inside Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. We call it Real Talk. It's former players breaking down film. Edwards was breaking down Jermaine Burton's film, and Edwards made two things really clear. He knows Burton well, and he really, really likes his game. Here's what Terrence said.
We got to give a little history on this right here. I have been training Jermaine Burton since he was in the seventh grade, so I know this player very intimately. The first time I trained him, I told his mom, you have something special. And he was a raw receiver that could catch and knew nothing about playing position. But his ball skills, hand-eye coordination, is probably the best I've seen in a long time. And that including Jaden, that including Dominique Blaylock.
I mean, that's pretty good recruiting company to put a guy like that in, saying what you see from Jermaine Burton from an athletic standpoint, it reminds me of Dominique Blaylock, one of the centerpiece members of Georgia's 2019 class. It reminds me of a guy like Jaden Hazelwood, who, let's face it, we did talk a lot about this last recruiting cycle. If you're looking for a receiver like that, Terrence Edwards says, look no further than Jermaine Burton. He is absolutely in that category, which when a guy like Edwards, who's the only 1,000-yard single-season receiver in UGA history, when he throws that kind of compliment around here, we are going to pay attention. We are going to listen to that. Now, there's also in stories like this, for some of our audience, I need to kind of play catch-up quickly on just who this guy is, meaning Jermaine Burton, and exactly what all the fuss is about. And it kind of gives me an excuse, at least for those folks watching on video, to go back and play one of the pieces of video that has been most fun for me over the last few months around Dog Nation. Do you remember not too long ago when Burton showed off on his Instagram feed himself, and if you're watching, you see this, leaping all the way across a swimming pool out in California where he lives now, swimming pool weather pretty much year-round there, Burton showing off incredible athleticism leaping over the swimming pool. Now, I've joked before that I'm kind of a dad, and when I see, you know, young kids doing this, especially guys I'd love to see healthy and playing for Georgia next season, there's a part of me that says, young man, are you sure you really want to be doing that? For those of you who've seen the video, it looks incredibly dangerous, and yet Burton kind of clears the pool with ease. He gets that done. I had a chance to recently talk to Terrence Edwards about this myself, and Edwards, a little bit like me, was like, young man, what's going on here? But in the description of why Burton does this, you do hear a little more about what to like about Burton. I think this is really insightful. Terrence Edwards' own conversation with Burton about that swimming pool leap you just saw if you're watching on video, this is more insight into what makes Burton the special player that he is. Here's Terrence once again.
When that video went out, I texted him. I like, JB, what are you doing? And only you would try it. He say, I tried because I knew I could do it. I was in a group text with his mom and I. I was like, why? She was like, true. Like, why would you try it? He's like, because I knew I could do it. So this guy's extremely confident in his ability. He's a guy that has the ability to go up and get the ball. Straight line speed is there. 6 feet, almost 6'1", almost 200 pounds, and have the ability to track the ball like no other. So he's a guy, if Georgia is lucky enough to get him, I think the Georgia fans would be happy.
So a couple things there from that video. First of all, you know, not to make too much of it, but I think that Terrence is right. The kind of confidence that would lead a young man to say, let me just jump completely over a swimming pool, is also the same kind of confidence that I think serves you well at the University of Georgia. I think that Georgia could use a little dose of athletic swagger, kind of an athletic arrogance. I don't mean, you know, a guy that's, you know, not a good team player or anything like that. I just mean a guy that believes in himself and kind of brings that to the forefront at Georgia. I think Georgia could use a dash of that. It seems like Burton's got that in spades, which I think is really good news. The other thing that you hear Terrence tack on to the end of that comment, and this is not a throwaway statement. He says that he goes and tracks the ball like no other. In that Real Talk video that we published with Terrence breaking down a longer stretch of film from Jermaine Burton, Edwards went into more details about that, saying that when it comes to going up and just grabbing the football out of the air, Terrence said that Jermaine's as good at doing that as anyone he's ever seen, that he almost has a natural instinct for, you know, ball skills, going up there and grabbing the football. And that's another reason to really like Burton as a receiver if Georgia fans didn't have enough of those already. So bottom line on this discussion is April 20th is going to be a gigantic day for Georgia. We know it's going to be G-Day, and there's going to be a lot of fun stuff to watch there. But we'll also be paying very close attention to what ultimately happens with the wide receiver Jermaine Burton's decision. I'd love to tell you that it's in the bag, the fact that he's going to do this on Edwards' birthday and honor him with that decision. I'd love to tell you that guarantees it's going to be Georgia. The fact is, that's not the way these things go. It's not a given that we know what Burton's going to choose. After all, Burton's got a lot of potential suitors, Georgia just being among them. But if you're the Dogs, you like being in the fight. And if you're a Georgia fan, you love the way this 2020 class seems to be heating up right now, with a lot of really fun storylines to evolve in the weeks and months ahead. And Jermaine Burton is right at the center of all of that. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever podcasts are found, including the world famous dognation.com. Let me give you a quick programming note, and then we'll get on with the business of giving away some of those Braves tickets like I talked about before. So normally on Mondays, it's Chip Towers with us on the program. Chip is away for the next couple of days, so we'll join him back on Dog Nation Daily again next week. We've got two really good guests stepping in and filling in for Chip today. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to get a chance to talk to the great former Georgia running back, Tim Worley. There's a lot to get into with Tim, including the fact that a charge that he gave to Georgia a couple months ago in this very program, Georgia seems to be following up on and doing exactly what Worley had asked them to do. We'll get his thoughts on that. And then later on today, we'll also talk to Pete Futak, a great, great college football reporter and analyst for collegefootballnews.com. Pete's a really good guest. It's going to be fun to have him on Dog Nation Daily here today as well. I want to talk about some really interesting comments from a Georgia player that I heard on Saturday in Athens. That's coming up in just a moment. Before that, let me remind you, the baseball is back, and this week, it's not only opening week at SunTrust Park, but it's also spring break throughout Metro Atlanta. That's really good news, because to celebrate, we got a lot of great activities going on with the Atlanta Braves at SunTrust Park. Let me tell you about all of this right now. Coming up on Thursday the 4th, that's this week, there's a really, really fun pregame parade that you're going to be a part of there at SunTrust Park. That's on Thursday. An early gate opening for batting practice on Saturday, so you can get there and watch Ronald Acuna and all those guys, Freddie Freeman, go deep and really hit those long batting practice home runs. That's always fun for the kids. A little extra time to do that coming up this Saturday on the 6th. And by the way, speaking of Freddie Freeman, they're going to do an exclusive red Freddie Freeman jersey giveaway for kids on Sunday the 7th. That's an amazing giveaway and something you're definitely going to want to be a part of. And speaking of the red, all Friday games this year are going to be redouts at SunTrust Park. Fans are encouraged to dress in red. Everyone in attendance is going to receive – this is a really cool thing. You've seen like the light-up Sanford at Sanford Stadium at the start of the fourth quarter. Well, the Braves have a really cool thing kind of like this too, where they do the light-up tomahawk chop, except on Fridays now you're going to get a piece of red film to put over your phone. So when they do the light chop in the stadium, it's going to turn the whole place red. You know, they bring the house lights down. The whole thing's going to look red. It's going to be an incredible, incredible look, and it's going to be a part of what's going to be a great season's worth of promotions there at SunTrust Park. So go to this website. It's braves.com/promos. The website, once again, braves.com/promos. You can find out about everything happening to kick off the season there at SunTrust Park. Atlanta Braves baseball, chop on. And I told you this before, in honor of the Braves and the home opener here today and the opening week here at SunTrust Park this week, we're going to do our part to give away some tickets here on Dog Nation Daily. So someone's going to be a winner, and everyone's eligible. Radio audience, video audience, podcast audience. Let me explain to this how it's going to work. We've got a pair of tickets to give away for this Thursday's game, and we've got four tickets to give away for this Sunday's game. First ever game, Sunday Night Baseball at SunTrust Park. That's kind of a cool deal. These, by the way, are great, great seats. Terrific, terrific seats for the deal on Sunday. So you're going to want to be a part of this. And here is simply all you have to do. Simply go to, if you're watching a video right now in our comment section, Facebook or YouTube, just give us your favorite Braves memory of all time or your all-time favorite Atlanta Brave. And by doing that, we'll take your name, we'll put it in the hat. And if you're listening on the podcast or the radio and you say, well, I can't be a part of the video comment section, we post this show every single day at the worldfamousdognation.com. So you can go there and put in your same answer, favorite all-time Brave or favorite Braves memory growing up as being a Braves fan. We'll take all the entrants, we'll put them together, we'll draw a winner for a pair of tickets on Thursday, and we'll draw a winner for four tickets to the terrific Sunday night game and some really, really great seats for that. So that's going to be a lot of fun with the Atlanta Braves here as a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. All right, let me now move on just for a bit. I was going to play some Kirby Smart audio. Let me move past that and just go to Isaiah Wilson. I thought that Isaiah Wilson on Saturday had some really interesting things to say. You know, this is a guy that in 2017 was a redshirt freshman and kind of not really able to play for Georgia right away. He saw Andrew Thomas do that. He wasn't quite ready to do that. Kirby Smart was a little critical of the conditioning and how Wilson handled that heat his first year at the University of Georgia. But looking back on that now, after Wilson became a freshman All-American as a redshirt a year ago, I thought that Wilson had an incredible perspective over what he's traveled through to be at the point where he is now. I wrote about this yesterday at dognation.com, but I wanted you to hear Isaiah Wilson in his own words. Here is Wilson.
I think my first year, like any high school senior going to an SEC program in college, you have to get over the little hump and adjust and reacclimate to the SEC. So my first year was a learning curve. Second year, they gave an opportunity to go out there and play ball, and that's all I wanted to do.
One of the things I talked about in my written piece on Sunday is we're in the age of a transfer portal where if a guy like Wilson in 2017 was forced to sit and maybe get some hard coaching from Sam Pittman and Kirby Smart, if he was doing all that and watching a guy like Andrew Thomas get the playing time that Wilson probably thought was coming his way. After all, Wilson was a higher rated recruit than Thomas. In this day and age we're in now, a lot of guys just tuck tail and run. They say Georgia must not be the place for me because these coaches aren't loving on me as much as I want them to do. But Wilson didn't do that, nor did he apparently hold any ill will over the fact that Andrew Thomas was playing more than he was. I love the perspective that Wilson shared on seeing Thomas get in 2017, what presumably Wilson would have liked to have gotten for himself. Here's more from Isaiah.
I want everybody on the team to win. I don't care who you are. If you're on this team and you're in red and black and you're wearing that G and you're out there grinding with me, I want you to win. Whatever's best for the team is what I want. My freshman year, I wasn't ready to play. I sat down and I learned how to be ready to play. In 2018, I played.
I was really impressed with the conversation I got to have with Isaiah Wilson on Saturday, and I wrote about this on Sunday at DogNation.com. If you get a chance, I'd love to have you go to the website, DogNation.com, read more about that. I think that was a really impressive showing for Wilson meeting with the media on Saturday, and I have more of my thoughts there at DogNation.com. You can check that out. We've got Pete Futak coming up later on. It's the former Georgia running back, Tim Worley, right now. And boy, what a thrill it is. His last appearance on Dog Nation Daily, Georgia fans raved about. They loved what they got a chance to hear from the great former Georgia running back, Tim Worley, one of my favorites growing up, and a real honor to get a chance to speak to him here once again today on Dog Nation Daily. Tim, thank you so much for your time once again. We appreciate you making time for us, and welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Anytime, Mr. Adams.
Well, let me start with this. You know, when you were on the program a couple months ago now, you talked about the T-shirts that you and your teammates wore back for Coach Dooley in the 80s, the big team, little me, and you talked about how important that was for you, your own story of what you overcame to get into the NFL, that buying into the team concept was really important for you. And lo and behold, I think we, for the folks watching on video, I think we even have the video of this to show, lo and behold, not too long ago, Georgia was seen during some of its winter workouts wearing that same message, big team, little me, on its T-shirt. How nice is it for you to think that Georgia might indeed be embracing that? And when you look ahead to a 2019 season where Georgia's going to be facing high expectations, how much do you believe, putting the team ahead of individual concerns, how much could that help UGA this year?
Well, I'm going to always believe that being a team player is always going to help because, believe it or not, whether we want to believe it or not, you can't reach your destiny by yourself. There's always people that are going to come along in your life to help you reach that. And it really encourages me to see that the Georgia team right now and the coaching staff is embracing big team, little me, because it takes everybody, every mind and every heart, even the guys that are not playing on the sidelines, on the benches, to be involved, to get these things to go to the next level. And the next level is winning a national championship.
My guess is you probably knew pretty early on in your career that you had a chance to be an NFL player, and there are a lot of guys in this Georgia roster now who have those same aspirations. They've seen enough talent for themselves to know the NFL could be their next step or individual awards could be coming their way. When you've got that kind of talent at your disposal, when you've got that kind of athletic potential, does committing yourself to a team become a harder thing to do? Is that just real life to say that for a lot of guys, and you were right there facing some of the same kind of stuff because you obviously knew what might be lying ahead for you, is it harder to put the team ahead of you when you do have pretty significant individual concerns?
Not really. It all starts in the heart, and no matter how great you are as an individual, your talents and your gifts, you know, you need your team. And I know we live in a time now that things are a little bit different. We have so many different ways to earn money now. But I still believe in the team concept. I still believe that once you sign that paper and you're part of that team, and I want these guys to understand, I'm not telling them that they shouldn't do these things. I'm just saying consider your steps. The one reason I made a step in going to the NFL on my redshirt junior year is because, number one, I blew my knee out my sophomore year, and I never thought I was going to make it back. So when that opportunity came and I knew I was going to be a for sure top 10 pick in the first round, I made a decision to leave, and that was right for me. So I'm not saying I don't agree with these guys, because you got to make a decision for yourself and what's right for your family. But I do believe that even in that decision, you can stay committed to the team and do it the right way.
I think that's well said. Speaking of running backs in this roster right now, DeAndre Swift is a guy that, let's face it, you know, there is a chance that he could be a part of the biggest conversation of all at the end of the year. This is a guy that might be even be in a Heisman conversation. However, we're also in a day and age now where quarterbacks throw it all over the yard. You know, it's a lot different than it was back in the 80s when, you know, Coach Dooley was obviously very committed to the run. Now these days, the media, other coaches, they love that passing game. Georgia still thinks of itself as running back university, but, you know, can a running back like Swift still be the centerpiece of an offense for a team that might win the national championship, or can a guy like this still be a part of that Heisman conversation in a day and age where everything seems to be about the quarterback right now?
Well, I believe that he can, because he's a three-dimensional player. He can run the ball, he can catch it, and he can also put him back there and receive punts, return kicks, and DeAndre, he kind of reminds me a little bit, not just because he wears number 7, but he reminds me a little of a Rodney Hampton,
sure.
Maybe a little bit more shiftier, but he has the potential to be that three-dimensional guy. I believe that, you know, his size, his speed, he can be that main guy.
Yeah, I think, I think a lot of Georgia fans are certainly excited to see what he brings to the table and in what could be his final year in a Georgia uniform here in 2019. And another guy there's some excitement about is another running back, and that's Samir White. But you know White's story. He tore his ACL at the end of his high school career, and then last year, what was supposed to be his freshman season in Georgia, also had a different ACL tear on the other knee right before the season's supposed to begin. And now we move into 2019, and there's some hope that Zamir White can be back. He was seen doing some drills on Saturday during practice, not contact stuff or anything like that. But, Tim, he's trying to come back from two different ACL injuries over the course of the last 2 years. As a former running back yourself, how difficult is this going to be for White, and is there any kind of advice you would give him about any of this?
Well, number one, it is a difficult task to come back, and, my heart goes out to Samir, because he worked so hard. And if you understand what this kid came from just at birth, I don't know if you guys ever heard about his story, but he's overcome a lot, and he's a fighter. This kid has a big heart, and I believe that he will come back with a full recovery, and I believe he will be that guy that the University of Georgia recruited a couple of years ago. He has a great big heart. He's tough, and I'm rooting for it, man. I want to see this kid get out there and play.
And you understand how this is, because you're one of those guys that you want to be on the field as a running back. You want to get those carries. And we saw this video of him last year, Tim, and, you know, he was already doing some of the taekwondo stuff and some of the, you know, the kicking stuff and, you know, kind of get that, I guess, that mobility back to that knee. And the kind of drive and determination we've seen from him on the field when he's been healthy, that's the same kind of approach you've got to take to an injury recovery too, is it not?
Yes, you got to take that same approach. And if I could speak to Zamir today, because, number one, he has a dream, and he wants to be that great football player for his team and for himself and for his family. But at the same time, you got to look at other guys that have went through something similar that he's going through. I think of the great linebacker from the University of Georgia, Thomas Davis. This kid went through three different major knee surgeries, and he came back and had a stellar career. And then you look at Nick Chubb. No one thought that he was going to be able to make it back, but he made it back in a year. And I believe that Zamir White has that same heart and that same drive to make it back, because guess what? You are a University of Georgia tailback, okay? And we set things straight at the University of Georgia when it comes to running backs.
I love that. Let me talk about another running back for a second while we got this conversation going. That's Brian Harrion. How interesting and special do you think it is that for a guy like Harrion, who, let's face it, he could have left Georgia after this past year, could have had his choice of going to another school. He hasn't gotten a ton of carries so far in a UGA uniform, looked good in the Sugar Bowl against Texas, but, you know, has been kind of waiting his turn for a while, and now here in his final season at UGA, he's got that chance. He's shown some patience to hang around here at UGA and kind of emerge a little bit the way that Elijah Holyfield may have done for Georgia last year. What does it say to you about that young man's character that he is willing to kind of wait it out and prove that he belongs at Georgia and he didn't just take off and look for an easy opportunity to go play somewhere else? What does that say to you about Harry and the expectations that fans ought to have for him in what will be his final year this year?
Well, it speaks to me, great, tremendous character, and it speaks to me that he has a heart of humility, and he's going to wait his turn. And it's just like I spoke about Zamir White, you know, when you have that dream and that desire, you're going to wait your turn, because one of the things that I do like the way what Coach Smart is doing and the coaching staff, you know, every day you're competing. You know, one individual might be that number one at that position, but guess what? That position is up for grabs. Anything could go down. Anybody could get hurt, and you have to be ready. I hate to bring this into this conversation, but you got to think of Jalen Hurts and Tua. Mm-hmm. You know, Tua went down. Jalen Hurts was ready, and he came in. Look what happened. And by the way, Brandon, I'm still sour about that. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, you see the example. So he exhibited great character. And I believe any of these young men now that see that, you know, their chances are not that good, that you got another person in front of you, maybe even second or third team. Anybody that can maintain and wait their turn, it speaks tremendous character, and it's a compliment to the way he was raised.
Well, Tim, it's always so much fun to talk football with you. You've got a great perspective. You're also doing some great things in the community as well. For folks who want to find out more about what you've got going on, how can they find you on social media and get in touch with what you're up to these days?
Well, you know, my business is Worley Global Enterprises. My website is worleyglobalenterprises.com. My Twitter handle is Worley Global Biz. My wife gets mad at me because I forget my Instagram. But you can find me on Instagram, too. And some of the things that I'm doing today, I'm steady traveling the country and speaking to NCAA schools and different places, corporate businesses, and just enjoying life, man. Life is good at 52.
I love to hear that. Thanks so much for your time. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Adam.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not leave a conversation with Tim Worley just feeling really good about life and energized about everything, but especially that running back position in Georgia? I love the pride the former Georgia running backs take in the great heritage of running the football that continues at UGA right now. With Harrion and with DeAndre Swift and with Zamir White on his way back, you love to hear that. By the way, on video, I've been enjoying watching a lot of your comments roll in as we're giving away Braves tickets here on Dog Nation Daily today. It's our way of celebrating the start of the home opener today for the Atlanta Braves and a great, you know, homestand worth of activities going on here as well. So continue to put that in there in the Facebook or the YouTube comment section for those people watching live. Favorite Brave memory, favorite all-time Atlanta Brave. We'll take all the commenters, we'll put them together. And if you're listening on radio or podcast, you say, BA, we want to participate in this as well. We want a chance to win those tickets for the Thursday game or those four tickets that you're giving away for the Sunday game. We want to get a chance to get in on those Braves ticket giveaways as well. Totally understand that. We want to make you be a part of this as well. So we post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. Our podcast link for today, when we post that up there, simply put your answer to this question, Braves memory, favorite Brave, in the comment section down there at the bottom of the page at theworldfamousdognation.com, and we'll include your entries into the larger pile, and we'll draw out a winner for a pair of tickets on Thursday. Someone's going to win four tickets for the Sunday night game as ESPN comes into Atlanta. That's going to be really good stuff. We will do that here today. We will announce the winner for that tomorrow to give people a chance to kind of get in and get all that stuff commented on. All right, let me also mention this, by the way, speaking of the Atlanta Braves, a couple other really cool things that I want you to be aware of. You know, Ronald Acuna, what a great rookie season he had, Rookie of the Year. Well, this Wednesday, that's April 3rd, all fans who purchase a specialty ticket package will also receive a collectible limited edition coin. I love Braves collectibles, especially when it comes to Ronald Acuna stuff. My guess is there's a little value added onto that, given the fact that it's got Acuna's name on it. That's a really cool giveaway. And coming up on April 12th, you may have heard it, but it said that winter is coming. Well, the Braves are doing a kind of a cool thing with that. They're doing a Game of Thrones night. Now, my family, we've been to the Star Wars nights in the past. I'm assuming that Game of Thrones night is going to be really cool as well. My guess is you'll see a lot of costumes and things like that for the Game of Thrones. That's really fun stuff. Just go to Braves.com/promos to find out all the stuff that's going on. Atlanta Braves baseball chop on. Really fun stuff to get rolling here as the Braves welcome back the 2019 season with the home opener today, and a lot of stuff, fun stuff coming up with this homestand. All right, let me squeeze in a couple of really quick SEC stories here. First of all, how about Auburn in the Final Four? I got to tell you, I'm not that excited about that, although it was a thrilling game with Kentucky yesterday. And boy, I got to tell you, Calipari, he has not had a great run in the NCAA tournament as late. Maybe this might be the reason why they're celebrating 80 grand so much in Lexington right now. Coach Cal, not exactly giving him a whole lot to talk about, but a pretty good basketball showing for the SEC yesterday in the Elite Eight. Thought it was kind of funny. Urban Meyer was down in Florida participating in some sort of golf tournament. He was asked about Dan Mullen, and boy, he's talking up Mullen. He's the right guy. But I thought it was very interesting how he stopped short in these comments, and maybe I'll put a link to the story for this at dognation.com. He stopped short of putting a time frame on when this might happen for Dan Mullen, essentially insinuating, hey, I got to wait and see what the talent level's like. I got to wait and see what that's all about before I move on and make a prediction for Mullen to do too much. But kind of interesting comments from Urban Meyer when it comes to Dan Mullen. I thought there was a really interesting story at Sports Illustrated. Andy Staples had this, looking at Nick Saban in Alabama and how accommodating and welcoming Nick Saban's been with NFL scouts. It's a really interesting read. I will put a link to this up. We put the podcast up at dognation.com today, because apparently not every program is super accommodating with NFL scouts. Some programs are worried about having too many NFL guys around the program. They think they may be spies for some of their rivals, or they just think it's not a good look to have NFL guys getting too much access to information about their players. This was really interesting. You'll be happy to know from reading this, or at least I assume you'll be happy, that Kirby Smart has also kind of followed in Saban's lead at Georgia, kind of doing some of the same kind of stuff, making Georgia be the kind of place that NFL scouts feel comfortable. It's weird to think that some programs might not be doing that, but apparently they're not, although it looks like that Georgia is a little bit like Saban in doing that. I'll also mention this as we get ready to wrap up our SEC through here in just a moment, that Vanderbilt hosted its spring game over the weekend, so you can feel pretty good about knowing that we are in that spring football season. Georgia will be the last. Dogs won't go till April 20th, but we have kicked off the spring portion of the season, at least when it comes to spring games. Commodores went first up, and all the other big SEC programs will be following up a little bit later on. We'll make that your SEC through. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to get Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Pete's a really good guest on Dog Nation Daily, a guy that we've enjoyed having on before. In fact, he's with us right now. Let's welcome in Pete Futak, College Football News, a website that I have liked for a long time. Always a fun read and a terrific personality. Kind of at the helm of that is our buddy Pete Futak back on Dog Nation Daily once again. Pete, thanks so much for making some time for us today, and we appreciate your perspective. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Let me start with you with something that we have talked about in the last couple of weeks just a little bit. If you look at the recent track record of college football, take out Dabo Swinney for a moment. I guess take out Mack Brown from 2005 for a moment. Other than that, coaches that have won national championships seem to win them pretty quickly in their first 4 years usually. Well, Kirby Smart's now going into his fourth year at Georgia. There's at least one perspective that might say, hey, that puts a little bit of pressure on Kirby to get it done this year, especially given the fact that Georgia's probably going to be a top three team in the preseason. It's probably also a little tougher to win a national championship than it used to in recent years, just because of how much resources and capital have kind of been gathered up by teams like Clemson and Alabama. So I guess, Pete, my question for you is, where do you land on this? How much pressure do you think Kirby Smart's facing kind of moving into his fourth year to put himself in that national championship coach club?
It's an interesting thought. I first coming to mind is guys like Bobby Bowden and Tom Osborne, and even Joe Paterno to a certain extent, who were around for a long, long time before finally getting there first. Yes, Bob Stoops won one right away. Jimbo Fisher won one early on at Florida State. To go with your theory, Nick Saban was pretty quick to do it once he took over Alabama and at LSU as well. I don't think there's pressure for that. I kind of think the idea of, if we're going off the theory, kind of like the NCAA tournament theory, where all you can kind of reasonably do is year after year after year, field teams that are good enough to get in. I think the first step when it comes to a guy like Kirby Smart at this point is just keep bringing in the big recruiting classes.
Yeah.
Just keep amassing talent. And I think that I don't want to say there's any pressure on him because, look, he's been close. I mean, they were close last year. I thought they should have. That was one of the, forget what happened against Texas. That was still one of the four best teams in college football and should have been in the college football playoff. They come within a whisper of winning it a couple of years ago. Just keep fielding really awesome teams. And one year, you're going to have your break. Everything's going to go the right way, and you're going to make that run. And that's, again, kind of the NCAA March Madness idea of all you can reasonably do is keep getting team after team after team out there, and eventually you're going to get that right break. And with Kirby Smart, it's a little bit different for football, obviously. But what you need to do is just keep getting those recruiting classes, keep having a top four or five team every year, and one year those breaks are going to go your way.
I think that's a really interesting point. I think it sort of leads to a little bit of a dilemma for Georgia fans because when the only way you can measure yourself, or maybe when the predominant way of measuring yourself is, did you beat Alabama or did you get a chance to play Clemson and knock them off? Let's face it, that's a pretty tough mountain to climb. And so, therefore, coming up short against Alabama the last couple of years, I think if you're a Georgia fan, you've got to sort of focus on what Georgia has been able to do. Georgia has a win in the college football playoff. In recent years, not that many teams can say they've been able to do that. Georgia has accomplished a number one class in 2018. So it sounds like what I'm hearing you say, and I think this is an important, you know, thing to put into the conversation, you know, you do see some evidence that Kirby Smart's more than just, you know, I guess a replication of what had been going on with the Richt era, that he's done some things that that Georgia was not able to do before he got here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I mean, look at what's happening in the world right now. I mean, there's Alabama's Alabama. It's until Nick Saban goes away, this isn't going to stop. I mean, so this is an all-timer of a juggernaut thing that he has put together here. Clemson's obviously been fantastic. They also catch the break by playing in the ACC, where you're not getting as many nasty games as you're getting elsewhere. Now, the concern becomes, you know, if you're Kirby Smart, or if you're Georgia, it was kind of like the Mark Richt problem a little bit to a certain extent, where when it's your turn, then you got to take advantage of it. I'm going to get my years wrong here, but whatever year it was that Mark Richt had, Sean Marino and Matthew Stafford, sure, when they were number one to start the season, and there was a whole finish the drill thing, it was like, all right, this is the year you kind of built to get that one year and that one point, and it didn't happen. But again, to your point, what is your goal here? And you know, look at LSU. LSU's got an amazing program, and they've bashed their heads against the wall over the last few years because you've got Alabama sitting right there. You know, look at what happened when Kevin Sumlin first took over at Texas A&M, and you know, the Johnny Manziel year, they were making a whole bunch of noise. They actually beat Alabama, and they didn't even win the division. You know, same thing with Hugh Freeze when he was at Ole Miss. He put together a couple of nice seasons, or Bobby Petrino when he was at Arkansas. I mean, you can come really close and then still not get the job done because you're going to run into that Alabama wall. So if you're Georgia at this point, if you can just get to 11-1, get to the SEC championship, and that is it's a lofty goal for anybody. That's asking the world. If you can do that on a regular basis, I think everything gets more than reaching your expectations.
As a national writer, I'd love to get your perspective on Jake Fromm for a moment, because no one denies that Jake Fromm is a good quarterback. I think that's the starting point for everybody. However, once you get more specific than that, there are some draft scouts who think he'll be a top five pick after next season, and there's some Georgia fans who think he should have been benched in favor of Justin Fields. From someone who watches, you know, at least tries to watch every quarterback, what do you think of Jake Fromm, and which end of that very different spectrum do you kind of come down on as what Fromm's done through 2 years and what you expect him to do in his junior season here in 2019?
When it comes to NFL draft scouting, when now in a world where you have Baker Mayfield and potentially Kyler Murray going number one overall, I give up. I in terms of thinking what is and what isn't a top pro quarterback, personally, I'm a big fan of the guy, the 6'5", 230 guys who, with the rocket arms. I'm more of a Dwayne Haskins fan than a Kyler Murray type of fan. Yeah, so you got a guy like Jake Fromm. Absolutely, he can play in the league. I mean, absolutely, he's got the mindset, the arm strength, the skills to make that happen. Does he have the raw skills that you might want to? Is he a 6'5", 230 guy who can run a 4.4 40? No, but that you don't necessarily need that. I don't think he's a top five caliber pick. But what I saw from Jake Fromm being on the field there for the Alabama game, the national championship, and seeing how he handled himself time and again throughout last season, and again against Oklahoma, that guy was the coolest guy in the room. And there's something to be said for being the unflappable type that just he's able to knock out a guy like Jacob Eason, who was also obviously a number one caliber recruit. He was able to get past a guy like Justin Fields. He just kind of has that it factor. I'm not going to blame him for the Texas loss. I'm not going to blame him for, certainly, forget the stats. I thought he was fantastic against Alabama under those circumstances. He has been terrific. And you can't really fault a guy who was able to get the program to an SEC championship two seasons in a row. And let's see what he does in his junior year. Now that he's had 2 years under his belt, let's see if he can take his game to another level and be one of those quarterbacks that you all of a sudden can win because you've got Jake Fromm, a quarterback.
Let me finish this, if you don't mind. Before you joined us, Tim Worley, who was a great running back for Georgia in the 80s, was on our program. We were talking about the current state of college football and the fact that we're in a very pass-happy age now. I think it was Andy Staples the other day at Sports Illustrated that wondered, could a running back still win the Heisman despite the fact that Derrick Henry won it in 2015? We've just become so quarterback-heavy in this sport. Can running backs still do that? Well, Georgia's got a running back this year. If running backs can be in the discussion, it seems like DeAndre Swift might be able to. First of all, what's your opinion of kind of run-heavy Georgia, Swift in some respects leading the way for the offense? Can a guy like that still be the face of a national championship caliber offense? And could a guy like Swift find himself in New York at the end of the year?
Absolutely. And it is kind of crazy to your point that you've got a guy like Jonathan Taylor who is putting up historic numbers for Wisconsin as a 2,000-yard season. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool. It's hard to do. But part of the problem is, kind of going along the lines of the national title discussion before, that's hard to do. Winning a Heisman is really hard. And it sounds like, of course it is, duh. But it takes a whole lot of things. You have to have a perfect storm of stuff to happen just to get close. Think of all the historically amazing players who never won a Heisman, from Peyton Manning to Adrian Peterson and on and on and on. Aaron Rodgers when he was great at Cal, all these great guys, because you have to, one, put up the humongous numbers, two, you have to do something magical that captures the imagination of the voters of the college football season, and three, your team has to win a lot. And so you have to, if you're a guy like Jake Fromm, for example, or if you're DeAndre Swift, you have to, one, get the numbers, which are going to be hard at a place like Georgia because you're not going to put up big passing numbers necessarily, and you're going to rotate the running back. Todd Gurley didn't win the Heisman, wasn't really close to it. Nick Chubb wasn't really in the mix for a Heisman. It's so hard to do, but you're going to have the part of it that's going to at least have the big games and the chances to capture the imagination. And, if you look at the last 2 years, it took Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield to put up two of the greatest statistical seasons, at least in terms of passing efficiency, in the history of college football to win the Heisman. That's where the bar was set. So, if you win a lot of games and you have a guy who can put up big numbers in the big moments, then you're in the Heisman chase.
Pete, I'm a fan of college football news. I appreciate your time on the program today. For people who want more of the work that you're doing, how can they find you?
Very simple, collegefootballnews.com, and all over Twitter at collfootballnews, C-O-L football news. And now it's, in a weird way, it's April. It's that fun time of year when we get to, really deep dives into these teams and get to feel what they are going to be for the coming season coming up.
Always fun. We'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Hey, Todd, have a great one.
Yeah, good stuff there, Pete Butak. I like the work that he's doing at College Football News. That's a fun website. By the way, I mentioned spring break before. Don't forget that right in time for spring break at Kroger, you can earn 4 times the fuel points on vacation gift cards at your local Kroger. What a great way to get ready for your spring break vacation, and a good way to save, too. Huge thanks to Kroger for doing that. Let me also let you know that around here we're Gator haters. We believe that all Georgia fans should be, and we love knowing it's been 884 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. Also, good news for Georgia on another rivalry front this weekend. Former Dog Kevin Kisner took down Matt Kuchar in what was a terrific, I mean a great PGA Tour. Actually, it's a WGC event, but it's a match play event. This thing had a lot of fireworks, and Kisner walked away a winner. That was a lot of fun. Also, big congratulations go out to the Diamond Dogs. Took 2 of 3 on Thursday, Friday, Saturday against Kentucky. The Saturday game was a wild game. Early morning start, had to hold on late, but 2 of 3 nonetheless. We'll see you tomorrow right back here on Dog Nation Daily.